Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. This week's iTunes review is brought to you by Jackie O. Jazz Hands. She writes, a great, funny podcast about real topics we all struggle with. Kim gives great advice and support to people to live their best life. That just fills my heart. Thank you so much for taking the time to write me that 5-star review. And for those of you who have yet to leave that 5-star review, all you have to do is go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast and do the same thing, and I will read it on the air. So thank you so much, Jackie O. Jazz Hands. It fills me up when I read those reviews from the heart. Enjoy the podcast. Today, I talked to Miss Tatiana Boyeva, and we talked all about down there, pelvic floor. And this is something that many of us don't like to talk about, or many of us are like, where's my pelvic floor? Your pelvic floor is literally anything south of your diaphragm. And, you know, the more I dove into this, you know, it really started with, I was curious, you know, I had a few clients that, you know, didn't want to squat because they peed a little when they squatted, or cough and they've peed a little bit. And so I dove deeper down this like rabbit hole, and it just led me to, you know, want to talk about this on the show, because, you know, when I talked to Tatiana, she told me 40% of women experience some type of pelvic floor issue. And it's more than I pronounced it Kegels. She's like, it's Kegels. It rhymes with bagels. So if you've been doing, you know, Kegels and it's not working, she talks a lot about why, you know, why that's not working for you, and that how do we really start to restructure the muscle activations and the co-contractions around our bladder so that we are able to do things and not pee a little when we laugh or cough or, you know, spend our lives, you know, hunting around for Depends to make sure our panty lines don't show. So have a listen to this call. If this is something that has happened to you, you've experienced this, maybe your doctor has dismissed this on you, take a listen. She has got a lot of different ways that she can help you alleviate this problem. So screenshot this episode and leave me a review and let me know what you take away from it. All right. Here's Tatiana.
Oh, magic makers. I have a very interesting conversation for us today. I have on the line Miss Tatiana Boyeva, and we are going to talk about down there. It is all about pelvic floor. And I came to this work during the Corona shutdown because I was trying to figure out, how do I help my clients better able to squat or lunge? And what started out as looking at incontinence turned into way more than I ever thought I would ever know about the pelvic floor. Given I have one, I should know much more about this. But that's why you bring on experts who know all about this. So welcome, Tatiana, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be a part of your show today. And, you know, my passion is to really kind of spread the word and educate. And so that's why I was really drawn to doing this.
Good. Because I feel like, you know, you sent me a Facebook message and you talked about how people talk about Kegels. And I feel like that's what most of us think about when we think of like pelvic floor. We think, oh, I just have to do Kegels and everything will magically go away.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I love to bust this bubble or burst this bubble and bust the myth about, well, you actually say Kegels. So I always tell my clients, it's like bagels, you know, it's the same way. So Arnold Kegel kind of discovered or invented this type of movement back in 1948. And he was a visionary and he was definitely on the right track. However, that isn't a complete picture. Okay. There's definitely a time and place for doing the Kegel work. And there's definitely a way to do them. However, it is not the end all and be all for all of your pelvic issues. And it also has to be done the right way. And we can talk about it in a little bit more detail if you're interested. What does it take to have those Kegel, to have those Kegel exercises be actually successful and give you results? Because a lot of women, you'll hear them say, Kegels didn't do anything for
me. Yeah, I've heard that. So like, let's take a big step back. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, you hear experts, people talk about pelvic floor. And what exactly does that mean? So that if I'm that person who's listening, be like, well, I pee a little every time I laugh. Is that a pelvic floor issue?
Yes, it is. So, you know, everybody will have a different level of strength in any of their muscles, right? Pelvic floor is a muscle group that's located down. It's kind of a like a dome, right? In the bottom of your pelvis. It will create this kind of like a lining. And it's also a sphincter muscle, the muscle that goes across the body and not the long ways. It goes sideways, right? Another one of those muscles is the diaphragm, right? The diaphragm is located that way as well. And diaphragm and pelvic floor, they're connected and they move together. They participate in the breathing. And so diaphragm and pelvic floor is the part of your core, quote unquote, right? You say, I need to strengthen my core. Actually, what you're saying is that you need to strengthen your pelvic floor, your multifidus, which is the deep spinal muscle, and your transverse abdominals, which is the deepest abdominal muscle. So when people say engage your core, you know, core is not necessarily, I guess I would say, quote unquote, it's considered to be the deepest part of your trunk. Right? And the pelvic floor is the floor of the core. Okay. So
right.
It's a muscle group on the bottom of your core, whatever's inside you. Very, very important muscle group. Extremely functional, participating in walking and breathing, like these vital functions, right?
And it's funny that you say that because I think, you know, so let's see, when I first started becoming a personal trainer, probably like 15 years ago. And I feel like around that time was the big talk of, instead of ab exercises, they started using the word core, right? And that became more of a euphemism for ab exercises, right? Like it was. And so now, like, as I've kind of evolved my learning, I've known that, like, you know what? When people say core, no, I'm not talking about freaking crunches. I'm like you said, how do you get deep inside that are keeping you to stand nice and tall, that are able to like keep in all those internal organs and keep you from peeing when you don't want to pee?
when you laugh or you sneeze or, you know, I agree with you. Some of us, and I will be guilty as charged, used to say, engage your core.
Yes.
But when your doctor is telling you, hey, you need to strengthen your core, what they really mean is not your abs, but is the deep part of your trunk, your transverse, pelvic floor, multifidus, and your diaphragm.
Right. And so as I've kind of started to get a little deeper into this, where it's like, we cue things that we just assume people know how it feels inside their body. And one of the things that I've had to take a big giant step back, and I think many people need to take the same giant step back, is, and you talk about this a lot, breathing, right? Really getting, and as you talked about, like the diaphragm, your pelvic floor is connected to your diaphragm, and it is sideways. It's not up and down, it's not diagonal. So it's really learning how to like get in tune with your breath.
Absolutely. So part of what I do is I actually help my clients to relearn their breathing patterns, okay? Because the pelvic floor is a breathing muscle, and a lot of people don't know that. It moves synergistically with diaphragm. So diaphragm will lower as it contracts. It lowers on the inhale, right, to make space for organs and to make space for air. And it will lift on the exhale. That's why we cue the contraction of the pelvic floor on the exhale, because naturally it's supposed to contract and lift up into the body when you exhale the air, when the diaphragm is lifting up. And I know this could sound like, to our listeners, it could sound like a whole bunch of jargon and they may not be thinking this, but you know, if you get together with a really good practitioner, a pelvic floor practitioner, or even a Pilates instructor, personal trainer who know what they're doing, they will explain this to you and they will show you and they will discover your breathing patterns. How are you breathing? Are you breathing into your belly? Are you a belly breather, which is not a good thing, right? Are you breathing up here in your chest? Right? Or the best way to breathe is into your ribs. And so I retrain my clients in that, we call it lateral costal breathing. So we expand the ribs and we move those ribs. And a lot of people are so stuck in their ribs.
Yes.
And their diaphragms are really, really tight. So part of the work I do for pelvic floor is help people to get that unstuck, get them to stretch it, get them to breathe big and into the ribs. I mean, the things that I've experienced, my own transformation in my body, I mean, it has literally changed my body in just, I don't know, I remember seeing changes in just like 4 weeks, which was so fast. Just my muscles. Yeah. Are just doing so well.
I it's funny that you say that, because I remember when I first kind of started to explore the whole breathing piece, my massage therapist, she is like, she would always be like, when I met her, I was a stress ball. And she would be like, Kim, she goes, I don't even know how you're getting any oxygen, because she's like, you're just literally, she goes, I don't even think you breathe deeper than your larynx. She's like, you just are like such a shallow breather. And I was like, what are you talking? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? And we literally, like, before she would even touch me, we would like spend a good 5 minutes just like having her try to get me to breathe into my ribs. And that was like, that felt like the hardest exercise ever, to like, to take a deep breath.
We live in such a fast-paced world right now. This is just our reality, and we need to come back to our body and we need to come back to our breath. And as practitioners, it is our job to point that out. Hey, you're not breathing, and breathing is going to be the very first thing you're going to be working on with me. When you get with me to work on your pelvic floor, it's going to be all about posturing and it's going to be all about breath in the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I went down this rabbit hole during lockdown, and I had to start repracticing my breath. And it was amazing that once I started to really get in tune with my breath, how easy movement became.
Exactly. It's amazing how incredible the body is. The minute you give it just the right touch or the right movement or the right technique, and it's so subtle, everything shifts and changes. It's insane. Like, sometimes clients are like, that's it?
Yes.
What can I do? And I say, listen, we have these bladder diaries. So we fill out a bladder diary in the beginning of our work together, and then we'll fill one out at the end, and I'll score them too on all their things, like their incontinence issues, so that I can see tangible results. Okay. And I say, just trust it. You know, I know we didn't do much, didn't feel like you were flipping tires or climbing the rope, or it didn't feel like you were swimming, or I don't know. Yes, for your mind, for your doer mind, for your yang,
yes,
for your masculine energy mind, you know, this isn't going to feel enough. But if we fall back into that feminine yin practice and the breath and the centering, that's what your pelvic floor needs. That's what your yoni is craving. She's craving that connection.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, because I feel like, you know, I was of that mindset, like, if I'm not bleeding from the eye, it's not doing anything.
Yes.
And literally, like, it was just me spending, before I worked out, spending a good 5 minutes, like, really focusing on my breathing to get my pelvis and get my diaphragm working together so that when I did put, you know, heavy weight on me, my body's like, okay, we're ready for this. We know what to do.
Yeah, it's part of your conditioning. So this would be, we would condition you for the life out there, right?
Right.
And when we talk about Kegels, if we go back to that, it's definitely something that we do in combination with certain kind of breath that is kind of like a forced ha breath from the bottom of your belly. So we can really get that engaged. So again, it's not just going to be doing the Kegels, but it's also going to be presenting that breathing pattern that is going to be helpful to engage. Right. And there's a way to do those Kegels the right way. Or the way that they're most effective. And the reason why, let's say, I kind of wanted to circle back to that. The reason why it didn't work for you when you tried it is because your contraction wasn't strong enough, right? So in order for us to have good results, we have to really engage the muscle, right? Some of the clients, they're lost their sensation there. They're just not even sure if they're doing it right. So I'll use every trick in my bag and every kind of cueing and imagery you can possibly use to get them to feel it. And here's something that I've learned recently that will really help you to see if you're engaging or not. You're going to take a mirror, a hand mirror, and you're going to look down there at your vagina. And you're actually going to be looking at your perineum, which is the space between your vaginal opening and anus. And when you're doing your contraction correctly, when you're engaging that pelvic floor, like the very center of it, it will go up into your body. So you'll do a Kegel looking at that perineum, the space between your vaginal opening and anus, and see if it goes up into your body. If it does, that means that you are doing it right. So you're actually doing it right. If you can't feel it, we just need to work on your mind-body connection. We need to signal from your main computer down to that part of your body. We're going to have you close your eyes and I'm going to have you reach down with your mind into it. Now, some women, they use, you know, these trainers, the ones they actually insert inside their vagina, you know, and they kind of vibrate and they help them connect. I think that's definitely advanced, and I wouldn't say advanced, but it's invasive and it's definitely like a lost resort. Let's just see if we can get you to do this naturally. If with practice and breath and feeling and looking and seeing and doing and feeling and doing, eventually you are going to grow those neural pathways from your computer in your nervous system. The more you do it, the more you breathe, the more you think about it, the more you reach down there with your mind, eventually you will work up that feeling down there and you will feel it. You'll get results. You will leak less. And so you'll know, okay, I am actually doing this right.
Right.
So that's one thing, right? So that's one thing, feeling the actual contraction. Now, another thing when we talk about Kegels, it's really, remember how, I don't know if you've ever done any kind of classes. Have you ever done any kind of Kegel work or followed a video?
I followed the videos, but I haven't, I want to say that I probably need more practice because like anyone listening, you have probably done it. And if you didn't nail it on the first three, you're like, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah, you need to keep going, right? So here's the thing I want to tell you that blew my mind because I've been, you know, working on my pelvic floor for a while for myself. But when I did this training with Dr. Bruce Crawford, who's located in Reno, he's incredible. And his method is called Pilates, P-F-Pilates, kind of like pelvic floor Pilates. He calls it Pilates. And that is part of my method right now. The way he is training Kegels is with in combination with Pilates.
Ah.
So instead of just standing there, sitting there and squeezing, you know, your pubococcygeus muscle and all of those, you know, like all the muscles down there, instead of that, you're actually going to be moving and contracting glutes, inner thighs, and deep abs, because those are the co-contracting muscles.
Yeah.
And when I was seeing all of this on the screen, when we actually were able to hook up a subject to a like a electronic screening machine, it's called the VASI lab. And they have like a teeny tiny little sensor. They put it on the perineum, which is the space again between the vagina and the anus, right? And so she's got some sensors on her inner thighs, on her abs, and on her glutes and in her pelvic floor. And when she did just a regular Kegel contraction, it was given a certain amount of energy. But when she did it in the squat and with a certain breath and with the pulsing and with the holding, so it's like the whole method, she was able to contract 70% more.
Wow. And so as you're talking to me, I'm like flashing up the anatomy screen. Yeah. The anatomy. And I'm like, you know, the toe bone's connected to the knee bone. And as I think about it,
that
makes 100% sense. Because if you think about one of the reasons why someone who has pelvic floor issues, why I'm unable to control my bladder, is because I haven't learned to work all those lower body muscles synergistically.
Yes, exactly. And none of our muscles are really meant to be working alone. Okay. Right. Every muscle is working synergistically in concert with all the co-contracting muscles. So if we have a muscle that we're engaging and we're at the same time engaging the co-contractor that is responsible to help this muscle work, then the actual power this muscle's producing is like 2 times more, right?
Yeah.
That is why your Kegels did not work for you, because it was not enough.
Right. And I 100% agree. Cause like, I think for most of us, one, the way you described how like we're trying to feel, but I also liked how you're like, get a mirror and freaking look. Did that muscle move?
Yes.
And give yourself the time, think about it. Let's talk about non-down there muscles. Would I expect to roll up to a gym and pull the 100-pound dumbbells off the rack and expect to do, bicep curls? No, I would start at a small pace and know that I'm going to have to work my way up. And so the same thing when it comes to this work, it's not a one and done kind of thing, because, Tatiana and I were talking before we went live, is that, I'm going to include a picture of like your pelvic area.
Yeah.
And in that pelvic area, that is like the body's like heart and soul of the body. Like, you don't realize until you look in that pelvic area, how many freaking organs like collide in that spot. And we're trying to keep it all together. Exactly. And all it takes is, you think about birth as being this like natural thing. Birth disrupts that whole area. It's like a tractor trailer coming through a forest.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for saying that. I first learned this expression with Dr. Crawford. He's saying that a birthing experience is actually an injury.
Mm.
And it is an injury. And, I'm thinking to myself, after shoulder surgery, we are sure prescribed to go to a physical therapy session or sessions and rehab our shoulder back to life. But how come we're not prescribed that after?
Not at all. And it's funny because I always tell my new mommies, I was like, I go, I know you don't like, you have this wonderful baby, but you don't want to think that your body went through trauma. Like, you don't ever want to think that. But it's like, especially if you had a hard labor or hard pregnancy, your body was trying to hold in that baby for 9 months. And it's pushing in an area that it's pretty much held together pretty loosely.
Yeah. And it's so normal that it is overlooked.
Yes. Because, I'm sure you've had this experience that you go to your doctor and in your mind, you're like, you know what, this ain't right. And you say, and you tell them, you're like, hey, Dr. So-and-so, this feels weird or that feels weird. And they look at you and they're like, get in line. Like, 50 other women today have told me about that. Or they hand you a freaking, badly copied piece of paper and, send you on your way. And so you're off being like, making you feel like, okay, so maybe I thought something was wrong. And let me just tell you, ladies, when you feel something is wrong.
Yeah.
Please, like, and that it kills me, and I'm sure it kills you too, that we're caught in that, like, I go to my gyn or I go to my general practitioner, and they may be, if they are familiar with pelvic floor issues, they may send you to a pelvic floor person. And, you know, I remember I had a client, that's how kind of this kind of started. She's a pelvic floor PT. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, I help women not pee. And how many women listening to this pee a little bit? How many commercials do you see on TV talking about how to put on Depends and it not look like you're wearing a diaper? So clearly it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I wanted to bring Tatiana on because I wanted those people who are like, what the fuck? I wanted them to realize you're not crazy and that there are people like Tatiana all over the country who have had the same experience. Like, they're like, you know what? There's something wrong and I want to do something about it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Preach it, girl. Yes. I am so happy that you kind of took our conversation that way. When I talk about doctors, I usually don't talk about any particular ones because there are so many amazing doctors. I like to address that as a collective system.
Yes.
I talk about a system, not particular person, because all of them mean well and they
exactly.
go through the day and you're just another face in the row and it's no big deal. It is a big deal to you, but it isn't to them, which is
right.
fine, but it's not their fault. It's the system.
Okay? Yes.
So I demonize the system just a little bit because we're often just completely brushed off. And I had a gynecological appointment last week and I just felt, you know, never looked me in the eye, which is okay. You know, I understand you're busy, but really there are practitioners out there whose job is to hold your hand through this kind of issue. And if we're feeling that something is not right, let's say you're laughing and you're peeing a little bit or you're coughing, that's called stress incontinence. So when it happens with a increased abdominal pressure, when you laugh, jump, cough, the intra-abdominal pressure is getting increased. Therefore, there's pressure on the bladder, pressure on the pelvic floor, and you end up leaking a little bit. So FYI, this is your body telling you something is not okay. You can't just say, oh, it's normal. I'm aging, part of aging. You know,
right.
you need to throw that phrase out the window. Part of
yes.
aging. This is just something I have to live with, or this is extremely inappropriate. Okay.
Yes. Because
we have to take those little signs from our body and fix them right there when it's just starting out and not let it go 5, 4, 5, 6, 8 years down the road when you literally have to wear Depends.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, like I've talked about it, like nowadays, like Depends marketing, like humanizes it that, oh, you know, it's okay.
It's okay. Yes, it is not okay. When you are having these first signs of stress incontinence, because that's what happened to me. The way I got into this, you know, entire industry, I've owned Pilates yoga and bar studio. I've had 2 studios at some point here in Florida, and I've taught Pilates for 10 years now. And, you know, I've noticed about 4 years ago that every time I laugh or sneeze, especially sneezing, would have me leak just a little bit. And of course, what did I do? Ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later is when I started having some issues to where my lower back was hurting so bad. After each workout, I couldn't even get off my bed because I was in pain. And then of course, you know, flu season rolls around, I get sick and I get this nasty cough. And oh my gosh, girl, I cannot tell you. I thought I'm going to have to wear a diaper because I was leaking so hard every time I coughed, my urine was coming out. I was 30 years old and I haven't had any children. So you can wear that and just sit in it for just a second.
Yeah.
Imagine if I were to go and have a baby at that
wow,
point.
Wow. Yeah.
I would end up with, you know, crazy issues for sure. But how many women actually go ahead and still have children without training their pelvic floor, and then afterwards are having crazy incontinence and prolapse issues. So my gift, I call it a gift, because it is. It is a gift from the universe. It is to spread the word and educate and encourage to learn more about that part of your body. This is the most sacred part of you, and it needs to be healthy. And coming from somebody who's gone through multiple issues in that area, I can tell you that it is just daunting. It is affecting you emotionally. It's affecting you mentally, socially, in your relationships, and of course, not to say physically, right? So I really, really, really urge you, if you do end up having a little bit of that stress incontinence, just start looking into either pelvic PT, just have them check you out, or just start with some videos, right? YouTube videos or educational videos. Those are really great. And you're going to trust your own intuition, and you will know what's best for you and who you need to talk to. Because I firmly believe that my tribe, people I'm supposed to work with, they're just going to find me. My job is to just kind of put myself out there, and people I'm supposed to help, they're going to come into my life. And so with all of that said, when we start to work on our pelvic floor issues, we need to really see, okay, which spectrum do we fall into, okay? Because now I'm running into some people, which is about 10% of everyone who's having incontinence will have hypertonic pelvic floor, okay? And I really wanted to bring this up today. So what is hypertonic pelvic floor? That is a pelvic floor that is too tense. The muscles are way too tight, so they're not functioning properly. And a tight muscle is not a strong muscle. A tight muscle is really weak. And so people who have them really, really tight, they will experience incontinence. So guess what? Would you be doing Kegels if you have hypertonic pelvic floor?
Nope.
Absolutely not, because you would be doing yourself a disservice. And in fact, I actually spoke to a client and she didn't know that. And, you know, I was able to point out to her, hey, you have hypertonic pelvic floor. And she said, oh my gosh, I've been doing so many Kegels. And I said, oh no. So yes, we need to stop that immediately. And we need to down train that. Down training meaning relax, release, gently just kind of guiding her into releasing that crazy tension.
So I'm going to ask you a question about that. So if I have this hypertonic pelvic floor, is it because for years, and I think it's still a thing, if I'm supposed to hold in my stomach, like as a woman, I'm told that I need to hold in my stomach. So is that maybe one of the reasons why our pelvic floor for some people could be so, you know, hypertonic?
You know, it's really hard to really say why those muscles tense up. Usually, if we just look at any kind of muscle or any kind of, from just an anatomy standpoint or injury standpoint, the reason some muscles just get so tense, so incredibly tense, is because they could be potentially injured, or their co-contractor, or their synergistic muscle, or their antagonist muscle was injured. So then that muscle had to work really hard, right? So there's a muscle, we call it a muscle imbalance, right? So pelvic floor is a part of this, you know, muscle system, and they'll work together. So let's say the deep core muscle is completely weak, and this client wasn't able to engage it, or wasn't just either just how they formed and how they trained their body to do things.
Gotcha.
They weren't engaging. Or for me, for example, I don't know if mine was completely hypertonic, because I did do some Kegel work. But for me, it was teaching Pilates while talking into a microphone.
Yeah.
So it was like really straining myself instead of breathing and working. I was straining. So that kind of ended up backfiring at me. So there is just so much. And to be able to actually just dissect that and figure out why this happens, you know, I couldn't tell you a good pelvic PT could probably really dissect, because what they do is they have a manual, they will check you manually. So they will insert all kinds of either, you know, ultrasound or just with their hands and fingers, and they will be able to tell, doing lots of different testing, muscle testing. Because usually when we have such a hypertonicity in the muscle, it will be also presented in the co-contractor muscles, right? So the glutes, we need to check the hamstrings, we need to check the inner thighs, we need to check the core, how it's firing. And we definitely don't want to be doing any Kegels, I will repeat.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, basically what you're saying is, if you feel like you have, you know, unable to control your bladder, is kind of like one of the hallmark symbols, but you also talked about prolapse. And so, you know, if I've seen the videos, and I only see, like, of course, the videos you only see are like of the worst possible case scenarios.
Yeah.
So how do I know that I may have prolapse? Is this something that, like, I might spot on my own, or is this something that I go to the gynecologist and they're like, ooh, there's something awry here?
Yeah, I think that we feel it, right? Really connect to the body. Prolapse is something that starts with this vaginal heaviness. There's just something that is not right in your pelvis, and you're feeling like something is weighing down. So there starts to be this kind of heaviness, or something's in the way and you feel it's not right. Immediately you have to seek help. And I will talk about hypopressive fitness today. And it is literally the godsend for those who have prolapses, as well as incontinence, of course. But when we have a prolapse, it could be, you know, three different things. It could either be the bladder prolapsing, it could be the uterus prolapsing, or it could be the rectum, rectal prolapse. And a lot of it has to do with the fascia lining, or the fascia and connective tissue isn't holding the proper way, and the organs are starting to weigh down, right? Or, of course, there's muscle weakness, or the neurodynamics aren't there, like the neuromuscular system isn't working properly, or maybe they were cut when they were delivering, and they had nerve damage, things like that. So think about birth, right? And what we go through when we give birth. I haven't done that yet, but I'm definitely planning on trying that out. However, things are so, I mean, we're pushing downward.
Oh God. Yeah. Or the baby's just, however wherever it kind of lands in the later part of pregnancy.
Yes. Could you just imagine the amount of downward pressure and force that's being put on those organs? Of course. So did you know that 40% of women will experience some degree of prolapse at one point or another in their life?
Wow.
That's the epidemiology.
Yeah.
My mom is actually a gynecology nurse practitioner in Ukraine, and I talk to her about this all the time. And it's kind of funny how I come full circle working health, like she is, just want to be like her. And she says that actually, in her opinion, she sees a lot of people all the time. She said that in the older ages, it's 80% of women having their organs are prolapsing down. And her theory is, like, when we lift heavy, that's her theory. She says lifting heavy is really not for women. However, we have so many heavy lifters and women who do CrossFit and things like that. I don't particularly buy into her idea with that. I think that if you decide to lift heavy, you should absolutely train your pelvic floor, and you should look into hypopressive fitness. I like low pressure fitness is what I am trained in. And low pressure fitness is so amazing. When I talk about it, I just want to sing and dance and twirl. Let me tell you kind of in a nutshell what it is. Dr. Tamara Rial, she is PhD from Spain, and she was researching hyperparesis-for incontinence for her doctorate. And she ended up founding this method that's called low pressure fitness. And because of COVID, I got an opportunity to actually connect with her. And she was doing virtual training and things like that. So I was able to learn from the root of the tree, right? And so I was able to add that into my program. And what it is, the cherry on top of the entire cake, because we look at it as a delicious cake, right? The cherry on top of this cake is what we call a stomach apnea or abdominal apnea or a stomach vacuum. So for those who have like diastasis recti after giving birth, or those who've been already researching pelvic floor exercises, they may have actually seen it on YouTube where people create a vacuum with their stomach, right? And this is such an ancient traditional practice. It's 4,000 years old. I mean, yogis back in India, 2000 BC, they were doing it. Have you seen yogis do this crazy thing with their stomach where they like...
Oh, yeah, like they kind of contort their whole stomach. Yeah.
Contort the whole stomach and then they pull it up. That's kind of it. That's what I'm talking about. But a very gentle baby level. Baby level of that. So what happens is you would exhale all of the air out of your lungs. Then when you close your glottis and your nose, you would pretend to inhale with closed throat, not letting any air in. And that creates a vacuum effect, like a plunging effect, if you will. So with that method, you can actually plunger your uterus and your rectum and your bladder upwards. You could suck it back up into your body with that vacuum. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So you exhale all the air, just like the plunger. You take all the air out, right?
Right.
And you suction it and you just kind of close your throat and you pretend to inhale. And what happens, your ribs open up if you're doing it right. And then it creates that vacuum plunging effect and it lifts all the organs. So that's right. The cherry on top. Yeah. But the cake is the posturing and the myofascial stretching. So you would do the vacuum sitting or standing or laying down in a certain posture that is so perfectly aligned where you want your spine and neutral pelvis. So you get maximum benefit.
So you're, so basically while you're creating this space, you're also, changing your body posture, because I feel like many people, we have such poor posture.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have such poor posture so that, if you think about, most of us have been sitting at home for 6+ months. So like, we're probably, our shoulders are way more rounded than they probably have ever been. And our trunks are shortened because we're probably sitting ergonomic. That is the word. Ergonomic. We are not aerodynamic, but we can be, but for sitting.
I love it.
But yeah, I really like that, because I think for most people, so let me just give you the vocabulary. Prolapse means your organ is moving out of place. In layman's terms, that's what prolapse means. And so if you Google it, maybe you shouldn't, but if you Google it, you're going to see a lot. You're always going to see like the worst case scenario, right? Wow. And you're going to see literally like, people's uterus coming out of their vaginas, or you're going to see someone's bladder coming out. Like, no, it can be a subtle thing. Anytime that it moves even a quarter inch, it's prolapse, right? So as we were talking about earlier in the conversation, you feel it. Right? Like you are going to feel something is not right. And so what we're saying is, don't take no for an answer, because I've been in insurance hell lately for the last few weeks. And unless there is a fucking code, your doctor is not going to be able to do something for you. So some of this may have to be an out-of-pocket thing. Some of this may have to be you Googling until you find a woman like Tatiana who can help you with this. But don't let your doctor feel like you're crazy, because I have had that experience And one of the reasons why I started this podcast is because I was like, someone else feels like me. And, you know, Tatiana, she's like, I'm 30 years old. This should not be the way I have to live my life. And I haven't given birth. Now I want to talk to the mommies out there. How many kids have you had? How many of you are like, maybe I should be buying those poise pads, right? Or maybe you should be having a conversation with a woman like Tatiana to be like, okay, is it the vacuum? Is it me doing Kegels? Is it me doing some other type of exercise to try to, you know, reverse what's happening? And you can't see her, but she's giving me the thumbs up, because that's what, like, this is what I encourage all of my people. And I'm like, Tatiana's my spirit animal right now. It's like, if you feel that there is another answer, there is. And the internet, I have a love hate, but I will tell you, Google is your best friend. And if you feel like something is off, Google the shit out of it, because you will find your answer. And I've been able to find a lot of answers, and I've been able to heal a lot of things that my general practitioners were all about. Oh, Kim, you're 40. So that's how life is. No, fuck that. Like, no, like, you know, if you look at the actuaries, I'm like, I'm halfway through my life. So you're basically telling me for the next 40 years, I have to suck up whatever it is I'm sucking up. No, no, I'm not going to suck it up. Now, if we live to 50, okay, yeah, sure. I could suck it up for 10 years, but I'm not going to suck it up. If like my grandmother's 95 years old, so I'm like, I'm hoping I got some good genes. So I'm not going to suck it up for almost 50 years.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, I love this message. This resonates with me. And that is also what I preach. You can always find your answer to your problem. Don't ever take no for an answer, especially from a doctor.
Yes, 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 yes. And I mean, I know of plenty of pelvic floor specific physical therapists out there. And if you Google that, you will find someone. You will also find there's probably people just like Tatiana in your area. She's in Florida, so you can always travel to Florida, you know, in the wintertime when it's nice and warm. But there's always someone like her who can say, you know what, come see me and let's see what we can do, so that you're not spinning your wheels and you're not spending thousands of dollars on Depends.
Yes. And, you know, I was just mentioning while you were talking, I do my work mostly virtually right now.
Great.
Since COVID, we were able to just kind of push it into gear. And now my clients are actually from all over the world.
Perfecto. And
It's really exciting. I do have a lot of local clients from my studio because I've been able to build a following in the last 7 years. I've owned a studio. So of course, that is my market. But this is a very niche market too in the world, where you can work with somebody, anybody really, virtually, especially when we talk about exercising in Zoom or wherever it is. You can get with somebody and they can teach you what you need. Unless it's, of course, pelvic PT, that needs to be local, where you can go in and they can really examine your body. They can look and touch you and feel you and do that internal exam as well. That for sure, give you the exercises. But let's say, what really makes a huge value working with someone like myself, for example, I offer my clients an accountability system. So a lot of times we'll get excited and we're like, yes, I'm going to be doing Kegels twice a day. And then first of all, we're not doing it right. And then second of all, can you stay consistent on your own? I find that only like 15 to 20% of people really can. The rest of the people, they just need accountability and they need a coach. So find yourself that accountability partner who you will be accountable in front of to deliver the practice, because it's not going to take you just a week or 2 weeks. It's going to take you a while. Mm. And guess what? When you stop, things start to come back. So you can't get to a place where it's like, all right, I did this and now I have to stop. This is an ongoing practice.
Yes.
You'll be practicing either every day or three times a week. Yeah, it's 15 minutes, but it's still three times a week, 15 minutes. You know, you still will have to dedicate that time. So the biggest value in working with someone like myself, and I have a lot of colleagues who do the same, it's, you know, if you're working virtually with someone, I'm huge on delivering results. That's all I care about. I just want results. I don't want any extra hoopla hoopla. I want to get you there. And so I will assess you in the beginning, I'll assess you at the end, and you'll have those tangible results. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because A, it happened to me and I was able to overcome it. And B, I see, well, every woman has a vagina, right? And right. So we all go through this thing. And so I see how many people are actually not aware of any of these issues or any of these potential issues we could have. So I'm passionate about educating. So your goal at home would be to educate yourself and assess yourself. Just see, okay, where am I at today with my pelvic floor health? Am I, you know, do I feel any pain with sex? Or is there any leakage going on? Or do I go more than 7 times per day to pee? Mm. Now, if you hydrate a lot, you'll go more than 7 times. But normally, usually it's about 7 times a day where somebody who hydrates in the average way will go to pee to the bathroom. Do you have to get up at night 3 times to go to the bathroom? You know, like how is your health? Are you constipated? Because that definitely affects you and your pelvic floor health if you're constantly constipated. Do we have to address your GI issues too? You know, are you having lower back pain and you're not able to pinpoint why you're having it? Mm-hmm. That could be a pelvic floor issue as well. You know, pain with sex is a big thing. You know, that's again going back to hypertonic pelvic floor. So that's why I wanted to also bring it to your attention, especially your listeners. When you have a hypertonic pelvic floor, you will have pain with sex. But if there is weakness and the muscles are just weak, and that's why we're leaking because there's weakness, then there will be no pain with sex. Okay. So if there is leaking, hard to put in the tampon, pain with sex, and the pain happens upon insertion, upon the initial penetration, that's the hypertonicity. Mm. And we don't want to do any Kegels. We want to sit on the tennis ball, sit on the pool noodle. We want to do the yin yoni. I call it the yin yoni practice. Yeah. And so, you know, definitely work with pelvic PT on that. If you don't have any pelvic pain, for example, this is where you would definitely turn to Kegels. Now you do want to do your Kegels with co-activating muscles. So you'd be contracting those glutes, contracting the abs. Because I know for years, I mean, am I right? We were bullied into trying to isolate our pelvic floor. Have you watched in this video? They're like, don't contract your glutes, you know? Right. And in fact, you should.
Right. And if you think about it, as we were talking about the whole co-contraction thing, it's kind of like telling me to like do a bicep curl and not let my tricep get involved when I lower my arm. Like, how do you do that?
Yes, exactly. So you do want to work those glutes when you work your pelvic floor. Okay. So that's going to be my masterpiece. And another thing is what I want to say is the healing in general is not linear and it's not just a straight line, right? And it's not just physical. Your healing is also emotional. It is mental and it is social. And so my approach to working with clients is biopsychosocial approach, is where we work on the body, mind, and of course we work on that soul part of it, try to connect back to the feminine, trying to get out of being in our masculine, because a lot of us out there being completely badass, but that's our masculine part. And every person has feminine and masculine, right? But when we work with pelvic floor, we kind of want to fall back into our feminine. So we work on that as well. And, you know, self-worth, innate body wisdom, trust your body. How do you express yourself? And how do you show up for yourself? How do you show up in your relationships? And how do you show up in the world? So that's also part of all that I like to do in my practice.
And I love all of that because it is like an inherently feminine thing that we're talking about. But, you know, we're also made to be, you know, that just push it to the side and it'll go away.
Mm-hmm. That's masculine in you.
No. I'm saying like as a woman, we're like, you know, give birth in the fields and get back to work. Like
just described. So that would be a masculine energy, right? And feminine energy would be being, just being.
Right. Just, you know, don't put a timetable on it and just be like, you know what? My body is healing. I need to, or just address that I need to heal, and then just not give it a timetable. Not be like, so can this be done in 12 weeks? Like, no.
Masculine.
Yeah. And I'm like, if you Google enough, I'm sure someone's like, 12 weeks to fix your prolapse. I'm sure it's out there.
Well, and there are guidelines. Like, there is definitely a timeline where, let's say, 80% of women were able to do it in this time. So generally, technically, you know, in general, that's what it takes. But there is no protocol. There's just
right.
a person, and you are the only one, just like you are. You are in 400 billion, or
right.
what is it? 400 trillion is the chance that we're born. I can't remember.
Yeah. If you want to like geek out, there's I'll find the link and I'll put it in the show notes. There is, I think it's Bruce Lipton. He did The Biology of Belief, and he has like a video showing like for however many sperm that leave during sex and the chances of that, you know, 5 million sperm finding that egg at the right time is just, you know, I think you have a better shot of being hit by a bus than you have of being born.
I think it's 400 trillion, something like that, is one in 400 trillion chance or billion chances yeah. being actually born. And so that is a big deal.
Yeah. When you watch that, I'm going to find that video. When you watch it, it just like brings a lot of things into perspective that you just kind of like start to be like, okay, I can start taking
a deep breath
and chilling on a few things.
Yes. Gratitude. That is true gratitude. When you're just grateful to be here, like, thank you for creating me.
Yeah.
And that's feminine. So, and you know, not to say that men don't have these issues.
No.
Men do. We don't want to discount men's issues with their pelvic floor and continence and mm-hmm. all that stuff. We really don't. But for me, it's, you know, it's home, and I do work with a few male clients. But, you know, I'm really passionate about working with women.
Yeah. And yes, it does happen for men. But I feel for women, because, you know, birth, that just opens up the canal a little wider than for most people. So I know that you have a couple of programs that you run specifically for pelvic floor. How can people get in touch with you?
So if you can follow my Instagram account on @theflowerbalance. So I call the side of my business is The Flower Balance. And you can find me on Instagram there. Also email me at info@myaverbalance.com. And Kim will link that in this podcast. But feel free to just email me. And what I'm doing is I like to do a 6 weeks course, virtual course, that will encompass everything I talked about today. All of the biopsychosocial techniques like yoga, Pilates, Kegels, hyperpressive fitness, doing the vacuum, and then meditation, active forms of meditation, energy work, breathing techniques, posturing, myofascial neurodynamics. So all of that is together in one method that you would go through for 6 weeks intensively. And then after the 6 weeks, you would just continue the practice, you know, with me or on your own, however you like it. But that would just kind of kickstart you into this healing process of your pelvic floor.
Awesome. 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 So this has just been a really awesome conversation. And I have asked all of my guests this one question. What is one thing that makes you feel magical?
So I love this question. It is so awesome. Thank you for asking. I feel magical because of my spiritual connection.
Mm.
So I'm not religious. However, I believe there are so many ways that we can worship the divine, right? And so the magic that I feel every single day is my connection to the greater power and to the divine, and how I practice that. And it's through my work, of course, and it is through just being. I'm falling back into my feminine and I'm admiring the masculine, right? So that's kind of been my recent observation of the world and just allowing for myself to be the feminine and then work with the feminine energy and work in this field with women. But the most important thing that I want to say here is feeling that magical gratitude and just connection and satisfaction, or just stopping and watching the sunset. I think it's part of being older, you know, like when we're in our 20s, we're like, oh, totally invincible, unstoppable, early 30s, same thing. But as we kind of get a little bit down the road, we're just able to just stop and smell the roses. And so that's what that ability and that connection, that's what makes me feel absolutely magical.
We're living the new normal.
My gosh.
Trying times.
I have no idea what just happened. My phone just like, my phone's sitting right here and then it just went like crazy. Technology gremlins. I'm going to have to like put that down for my editor, 104. So it has been really great chatting with you. I am so grateful that I found you on Instagram and we were able to have this conversation and really talk about down there and help people realize that it's not them. It is,
yeah.
It is a, you know, I think you threw out the number 40% of women have some type of pelvic floor issue.
Absolutely. Yeah. And 100% of us must educate ourselves and must pay attention to what is going on. So if there is anything, there's any chance of an issue popping up down the road, you can catch it and just kind of shoot it at its root and just move on and live your best life.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I've so enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.